When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Welcome once again to Blockbuster Mentality, where we're talking The Flash. Dave here. Ben was not able to catch the screening this weekend, but in his place, slipping into the co-host chair is frequent guest, friend of the show, and actor Dan Franco. Dan, thanks for joining me.
Thanks for having me, man.
Absolutely. Just a little
throwing me because you've got the Benjamin Secord table there on your Zoom window.
You know I'm Dave, right?
Yeah.
Before we get going in the movie, I want to give a quick tease. On Thursday, this past Thursday, we saw Indiana Jones and the Dial of Destiny. That review, we recorded that one out of the theater, in the car reaction. So that will likely be out next week as we're trying to get this Flash movie out just shortly after release. So look forward to that. All right. So let's get into The Flash. Now, typically, new releases, Dan, I know you listen, and of course, everybody else, new release episodes, we typically hold back spoilers. We keep them for you to go see the movie. I think this movie is so different, so controversial. And of course, days before official release, almost the entire movie was leaked to hell, right. Almost like I've never seen before. So I think in order to talk about all the issues around the movie and some of the things that were in there, we're going to have to just get into spoilers. So I will give my quick reaction. I did it when I got out of the theater on Friday night. I did have a short Twitter thread if anybody wants to check that out. But I'll just give my thoughts here. When I walked out of the movie, I loved it. I thought the movie was incredible. And I felt that as someone who's been complaining about runtimes, this one runs about 2.5 hours. I did not feel the runtime. And in fact, I started feeling, oh no, the movie's about to end. I'm like, holy crap, I can't believe we're here already. I liked Ezra Miller's performance. I will say your challenge is to get through the first hour of the film where it's Ezra and then two Ezras. If you can sort of get through that point till we get to kind of where Michael Keaton goes, the movie just keeps getting better and better and better. Yes, there are problems with the CGI, but overall it did not bother me. Despite everything that's going around with this movie, the hate that it got, the fact that it seems like it's completely bombing in the box office, I completely recommend this film. My strong recommendations. In fact, I kind of want to go see it again, and I can't wait till it's out on HBO Max. So those are my thoughts. I don't know your thoughts, Dan, so go ahead and give your rundown before we move into spoilers.
Yeah, I really enjoyed it. I've got it, I kind of keep track, a running track as I watch movies each year, and I've got it ahead of Quantumania and just behind Cocaine Bear so far on the year.
Nice.
So it's fifth for me. I really enjoyed it. I thought they did the things, it's exactly what I thought it was going to be going in. Mm-hmm. I knew it was going to be a lot of nostalgia and fan service. I knew it was going to be, and I know we'll get into this later, but Ezra Miller is incredibly funny. I think they're the funniest thing in the Justice League movies and all of that. And, not funny, but the comedy works. So I knew there was gonna be a lot of that tone. I think it was incredibly fun, and the story itself, the loss that it gets into and explores that was done really well. So I really enjoyed it. I don't expect it to hang out in the top five as other stuff comes out this year, but for right now, it's there. And I would say, yeah, it's definitely worth checking out. I know, we're going to get to this in a little bit, but there's a lot of people that put a lot of work into movies, not just one person. So, I always have a hard time not seeing a movie for one person that's in it, as opposed to supporting the the hundreds that go into making it. So
yeah, let's actually pause that thought momentarily. I want to hear, did you see this with family, by yourself?
Oh yeah, my wife and my son took me for, you know, yesterday on Father's Day. So
oh nice.
And it was a big, you know, pack. I know they say that it's not having a great opening. The screening we were in on Sunday afternoon, Father's Day, was packed. So yeah. And had a great reaction, lots of laughs, lots of, you know, just that great, not like the recorded screens of Avengers, you know, but it had a great reaction in the crowd.
And the wife and son liked as well.
Yeah.
Yeah. I saw this with my wife. If she was not married to me, she would probably never watch a comic book movie in her life. It's really not her thing. I kind of drag her along. And so most of them she kind of dislikes or gets bored with. She loved this movie. She was laughing more than I was. And she was, I love you, honey. Just going to tell everyone. She was bawling her eyes out at the end, which was an emotional moment, I think, for everyone. So yeah, it is kind of strange to, I mean, no one's going, but when you go, everyone seems to have a good time. So,
yeah.
All right. So I'd recommend, it sounds like Dan would recommend, we're going to move into spoilers if you guys want to avoid those and still want to catch them. And then after you go see it, come back and listen to our discussion. All right. Yeah. So here is our spoiler discussion. Thanks everybody for listening. Go see The Flash. Who cares about the outside noise? It's an enjoyable movie.
Yeah.
So you mentioned this movie is more than Ezra Miller. And as far as I understand the timeline, well, there's actually a very lengthy timeline for this movie. They've been trying to make it for years. They got Andy Muschietti, who directed the two It movies. The first one was a smash. The second one did well, but I think is kind of a little bit of a letdown, but still a lot of people enjoyed it. I think he was the fifth director within a number of just a couple of years. The budget was bloated. Once they spent all that money, got this thing finished, and then Ezra Miller goes out and decides to do everything that Ezra Miller decided to do. And so I completely understand if someone says, I do not like Ezra Miller. One, as an actor, and I just don't want to see Ezra Miller. Two, all the shenanigans surrounding him, Ezra Miller should have been cut, recast, or in jail. Fine. And if you don't like that movie for that reason, I get it. But I do think a lot of that controversy has... that, in addition to the leaks, have really tanked this movie. Well, among other things, which we can also get to. So, yeah, go ahead and expand on. I know I just talked a little bit about what you were going to say, but tell me.
I think, it's always hard. I know here on the East Coast, you know, and I don't know how it is down where you are, but it was a really mild, kind of beautiful weekend. So, that's not a movie going weekend typically. Uh-huh. So, and it was Father's Day. You know, I think. The timing of the release of the movie was not ideal for any, because I don't think Elemental had a huge opening either. So it wasn't just The Flash that it just was kind of a, you know, if it would have rained all weekend, they probably would have both done so much better. So there's a bit of a crapshoot with that, with some of these summer blockbusters. I feel like there's so many, you know, one of my favorite movies is Braveheart, and I don't really care too much for Mel Gibson anymore. So it's hard to watch that for me sometimes, because I love that movie. I cherish that movie. And I think we talked last year when we were talking about Maverick. There's a lot of people that have a problem with Tom Cruise and what goes on with the group that he's part of, you know, and but when it comes down to it, for me, especially, I just know that there's so many crew, there's so many other actors, like that Sasha Kali, who played Supergirl.
Yeah.
She was fantastic. And, you know, she deserves to have that, you know, seen and celebrated, you know. And when it comes down to it, we weren't going to see Ezra Miller. We were all going to see Michael Keaton.
Yeah, so. True. Yeah. Yeah, and I know, and actually you mentioned the release date. They released the trailer, I think, on Super Bowl during the game. And when I first saw it, I go, wow, this movie looks like a banger. But that was February, and then they had all these fan screenings, and sort of like there was a lot of momentum for the movie and a lot of people coming out saying that they liked it, but it just wasn't out yet. And then there was this like period, and then the leaks started coming out, because anyone... you could go see this movie if you put the effort to go to a fan screening or what have you. So that long kind of drawn out period, which almost kind of feels which similar to, I think, is what might happen to Indiana Jones Dial of Destiny when they put it out in Cannes. And it's still not out yet. I mean, I saw it a few days ago, but we still have like another like 10 days as the time we're recording before it's even out in theaters. So it's a slightly different situation, but I do feel like when you get momentum going for something, you just got to release it. And now it allowed for people to spoil and crap on the movie for a variety of reasons. And then no one had seen it to defend it. So we're all just sitting there. I got to be honest, I was really pumped for this movie. But when I got my ticket and I was sitting in that theater on Friday night, I thought I was going to see a piece of garbage. I really did. It had actually kind of demoralized me. And I'm thinking, this thing's going to suck. And then it did not. It was awesome. It exceeded my I would call them lowered expectations based on all the negative word of mouth online and stuff like that. So
that's great.
Yeah, it is crazy to see how all this shakes out. And of course, everything else going on with Warner Brothers, everybody kind of knows that this is kind of done. We got James Gunn. So there's like a million things going on with this film that could kind of like, I guess, not to say conspired, but contributed to its financial lack of success.
And I think, you know, with all the stuff that was going on with Ezra, they've already, you know, thrown a completed movie in the cellar and with Batgirl. So they weren't going to do it again. They couldn't afford to do it again. But like you said, it with DC and everything getting shaken up over there, you don't even know if this is this a continuity? Is this a franchise? Is this the end of the prior world? You know, which is sort of ended up feeling like, okay, we're closing the book on all of this stuff that we've done. We're going to bring all these people back for these little cameos, and then we're going to close the book, and now we're going to start the new DCE universe.
Yes, although the movie, I think we know that's the intention, although it almost like leaves a weird door open at the end. And it also brings these characters forward to then just like obliterate them,
right?
In a sense. So it was a little wonky. So let's get it. Let's talk. This isn't like a, you know, in-depth review, but we understand the premise here. Barry Allen lost his mom, as we saw in Justice League. We're not talking comics here, but just I think the last time we saw them was Justice League. At least the Snyder cut. His dad's in jail, and so Barry believes he's innocent. And then we have this flashback. He essentially realizes that he runs. He's so upset. He runs so fast that he could actually, what was we saw in Justice League, he can change time. But he ends up into this, I don't know what you want to call this portal thing where he can peer into different moments in time.
Yeah, almost what do they call it in Interstellar? Like this tesseract where time just exists in like a scrollable. Time exists in like this, almost like he can scroll forward and back depending on which way he moves within the bubble. And so he can find whatever moment in time. And I did think that the way they visualized that was one of the worst things about the movie. The CGI of I don't understand why they looked like animation as opposed to just, you have all the actors. They were literally all there on your set. You could have, you know, shot whatever you needed and then replicated it the way you did. It threw me a little bit.
I really wonder if this was a case where Warner Brothers said, you spent enough on this, we're done here, and we're just gonna call this our style. So I think CGI is really kind of, I would call it uneven. I wouldn't call this bad CGI because when he's in like that Speed Force, I think it's amazing. When he, you know, like sort of like the lightning going on around him, a lot of it looks really good. But yeah, when he's into that sort of thing, it doesn't work. And then there's a rescue scene. I think we skipped over, but I think is a hilarious rescue scene with the babies. What was your thought? This was a controversial one. I thought it was funny.
and I guess they set up a great joke for that by doing that because he can't, unlike what's his face in Quicksilver in the X-Men movies, he can't interact with people. Otherwise, it will mess their physiology up, I guess, or something. So he has to like push the microwave to go catch that baby over there, or push this thing so that it hits that thing and moves that baby over there. So, and he basically creates this like assembly line so he can just catch them all one at a time. I thought it was really well done.
It was one of the most like wildest, bonkers, like hilarious sequences I've seen in a while. And then meanwhile, we have Ben Affleck's Batman with an incredible action scene.
Yeah, that was fantastic.
Yeah, and I love the suit was a little weird because he had like that armor, but I love the gray and the blue. That's my thing. But even this, where CGI gets weird too. One thing I noticed, whenever someone was in a mask, they would look strange. Cause like, and Ben Affleck looked strange. Like, I don't get that. Was this something like done in post? Was this not even a scene that was in the movie until this was adjusted and they just used his voice? I couldn't figure that out. Right. And it's the case with Barry as well. And a couple of times in the movie. So that's another one where it kind of takes you out a little bit. So when Barry makes this realization, he gets a warning from Bruce, from the Affleck Bruce, about not doing it, which I thought was a great scene. Just telling him, because it's really kind of a very similar situation. He lost his parents and he knows you kind of have to, and this is really the entire theme of the movie, which is you have to learn to accept loss, accept tragedy and move on and try to make yourself stronger through it. And I think the story in general is great. And I think maybe too adult. I don't know if kids, if this seems to resonate more with adults than kids.
In the row that I was in, there was a family that had three little ones, which there's a lot of language in this one. So yeah. They got their one PG-13 F-bomb in. They got a bunch of shits, a bunch of,
and Ezra Miller's ass.
Yeah. So it wasn't so much a kid movie, but they were engaged. They were in it. So I was worried. I was like, oh, great. These kids are going to get bored and loud and obnoxious. Yeah. They were glued to it. So that was good. Clearly, that was there's your rating. Three 8-year olds were glued. And Affleck, damn, he's just, I think until this movie, he had kind of moved into my top Batman spot. Mm-hmm. I love his version of Batman, and I love that, like in the Batman versus Superman, I thought he was just violent. You know, like the way his Batman fought was, you know, I liked it more than Christian Bale's or any of the others that we've seen. It was just really violent and smart for what that person, you know, knowing to use his leverage and weight, you know, against. And so I really enjoyed Affleck's take on that character. I wish we got his solo movie that he was supposed to do. I wish they hadn't blown that up because, you know, I listened to your review of Air. I thought that was great. That's probably my favorite movie of the year so far. It's going to be hard to beat that.
Yeah.
I know Oppenheimer's going to make a run at it, though. And just every movie he makes, I love. Yeah. And I wish we would have seen his version of directing and writing a Batman movie.
I do, too. And it just sounds like he's done with the character and they're going to move on. And there's so much potential there. He's also, for him and Keaton, are one and two Batman for me.
Yeah.
And as much as I liked The Dark Knight, Bale just, I don't think he's quite at their level. The movies were good, but I don't think he quite did the character the way the other ones did.
This movie kind of put Keaton back on top for me because I like Tim Burton, but it's not something that it's not my favorite style. I appreciate it. I love Beetlejuice. I love the original Batman movies, but I like the more grounded version of, you know, the characters when they exist in a world more similar to ours, as opposed to what this fantastical sort of bizarre world that Burton puts together. Yeah. And so I always liked Keaton, but didn't love the world his Batman lived in. And so bringing his here, and then, man, when he goes into that missile silo and is just wrecking Russians left and right, I was like, oh, that's my Batman.
I think I have nothing to disagree with. Those are all amazing points, and I agree completely. Michael Keaton is incredible in this film. One thing I did want to hit on, what do you think of the double Ezra Millers? Was that okay for you, or was it stretching you? Because it got to the point for me where it was starting to stretch my kind of patience with the film.
Well, I think I think it was supposed to. I think the other one, the younger one, was supposed to be a little bit obnoxious. You know, even he says, "Wow, I never realized how obnoxious I am." I thought they did it really well, because usually when you got a someone, you know, I think it's they've just come so far in the ability to have one actor playing two roles in the same scene. You know, it didn't feel, you almost started to forget that it was the same actor, and you just kind of accepted that there were two of this character. It didn't feel like it was the movie trick happening, and I wasn't aware of it.
And I think it was a good job of really being two different people acting wise. So I thought that was impressive. But I think when it ended, it was like, okay, good. And if there was a spot where I would cut, I probably would have shortened just that story before we get to Keaton. We noticed Barry realizes he's in a very different world. Really one of the big things was that Eric Stoltz was in Back to the Future. What'd you make of that little joke?
But apparently, I've never seen the footage, but apparently they got deep into production before they replaced him. So I liked that they called that out in this alternate.
Yeah. So I think I don't want to stretch this, but I think there's actually a meta point with this Eric Stoltz reference. And that is because I looked and I just went ahead and looked this up. I remember reading it before, but I wanted to verify. They'd gone pretty far into production. I guess Michael J. Fox wasn't available, but the reason for ultimately letting Stoltz go was that he had a very dark take on the story, and that this was actually a little bit tragic for Marty to maybe to miss out on this part of a life that he could have had, which is interesting because this movie is itself kind of a tragedy.
Yep.
And my meta point is that almost unintentionally, this movie kind of shows, if we're looking at DC and Marvel, I almost want to say DC is the Eric Stoltz version of Back to the Future, whereas Marvel is Michael J. Fox, and it's lighter, it's funnier, it's more popular kind of a thing. And I thought it almost just like drew that line to me where we're in this run of DC films, which I've really liked. They are kind of just, they have that darker take, and they're not really for everybody.
And then you get to the whole thing, the thing that sent him back and was having his mother back, and this idea of him, of what his life would have been, you know, in the resentment he has for the other version of him that got to live with her for 18 years and took it for granted, you know. Yeah.
It's kind of a spoiled brat, you know.
Yeah. And thought they played that on both sides of it so incredibly well. And that scene where he realizes he, you know, no matter how he tries, he has to go back and put it back the way it was. That was just beautiful. I mean, it was heart-wrenching.
Yeah, it's one of those things where it applies to really lots of things in life, which is interesting too, is because younger Barry was, in fact, even as he was quite obnoxious in the beginning, he was actually growing and understanding what was going on and realizing the gravity of the situation. And of course, but it's like, well, what do you, it's like, you have that power to change things, and it's tragedy after tragedy. They meet Keaton. He explains how this timeline sort of works, whereas instead of like branching off, it creates a new thing that crisscrosses and then changes the past. Now, I don't understand how that works, but that's what the movie says happens, which is why we get Keaton instead of Affleck, and he's older. Right. So that things just get jumbled. And then, of course, Zod is invading Earth. And the consequences of this is that one of the things that changes is there are no metahumans, which Barry goes, oh, Batman's not a metahuman, but he is a superhero. Let's go find him. And I love getting this sort of disheveled, older Keaton. He's essentially retired. Gotham is saved. There's nothing more for me to do in my life. I've given my life for the protection of Gotham, and I'm done, kind of a thing. But they win him back through really that same kind of thing that both characters have that loss, and they kind of learn, like, okay, let's see if we can fix this.
It's interesting that, you know, that the Keaton Batman would still, wouldn't just continue to be Bruce Wayne, that you know, it kind of goes to that thing that they said in The Dark Knight, that the mask was Bruce Wayne, that Batman is who he really is. Because once the city's cleaned up, it's not like he now lives in his big shiny mansion. He's let that thing run down. He looks like a hermit. Like he's in a world that doesn't need him, and he's not really Bruce Wayne anymore.
No, he's lost Alfred. He's just kind of, all he really seems to do is cook. That's about it. But they're looking, and so Barry's like, well, I got to find Clark. And they, as you said, they go to Russia, where they find out, searching some database that Barry has, that I guess they found, obviously it's Sasha Calle's character, Kara, I believe, but yeah. It didn't say Clark Kent. I might've missed exactly how he figured that out. But, in any event, they end up into this place where she's being kept out of the sun, into this bunker kind of a thing. And she, when we find her, when they break in and find her, all of this, by the way, we're skipping over just absolute dazzling visuals, and good interactions, between all the characters, for that alone. So good. I think that's just where you get the Batwing, like, or as they jump out of it and you see it sort of falling, and it's like, you get the silhouette of the moon as Keaton is diving. But we find her, she's just like this broken thing. She's just been tortured all her life. And I just felt something there by the way people can be evil to something that they think that they can't control, you know.
And she's not real motivated to go out of her way to help anyone from Earth.
Yeah, why would she trust anybody?
Yeah.
Yeah. So she carries that pain, that anger, that sourness really throughout the movie. And then she learns, okay, these guys, she does learn through Barry. Well, I think through younger Barry, they make a connection, and also older Barry's kind of willingness to sacrifice himself, with the lightning and all that, willing to electrocute himself and die to try to get his powers back, to try to save the world. And I thought all that was brilliant. And she gives such a good performance throughout this movie. And it's all set up leading up to we're going to kill Zod.
And it does look like, so on her upcomings on IMDb, she's got a Supergirl in development. So I don't know if I don't know what's going to be salvaged out of this version of DC, but hopefully it seems like across the board she's getting these great reviews and these great feedback on her version of Supergirl. So hopefully James Gunn will hold on to that.
Yeah, because it would have to be an origin story, I would think. But I think she's a fine actress. And she embodied the role, and she just had this like viciousness to her that I just loved.
Yeah. The Batman version of Superman.
Yes. Yes. Exactly. Yes. Yes. And I think there is a place for, you know, there could be a Supergirl and a Superman. I'm good with that. I'd like to see that. And it is interesting when you get more Kryptonians in the mix, the possibilities there. And so the main problem of the film is, we can't win this thing.
Right.
And that's a gut punch, narratively, because I didn't really know what we're, because in a way this isn't, it's a multiverse movie, but not really. It's more like you're in a, only like you said, that kind of weird sphere thing where you see the different universes and timelines where Keaton warns it's going to turn into a bowl of spaghetti and fall in on itself and explode. This is more in line with since they mentioned Back to the Future, that sort of timeline change style. So it's not like, say, Spider-Verse, where there's like a million of them all interacting kind of thing. What they're in sort of like this, they have the ability, young Barry basically gets them in this loop, started by older Barry, but then continued on by young Barry. It's like, because Kara basically gets killed every time. Michael Keaton or Keaton's Batman gets killed every time. And it's like, no, this is going to be the end of the world here. Yeah. Well, because Zod's just going to kill all of us and take over. He's got his terraforming machines, the world builders or whatever they're called, world engines. To me, it just felt I got that feeling of helplessness and dread watching it. What were your thoughts on this choice?
Yeah, I just watching it over and over and over, I think we go through three times before older Barry's realizing we're at a critical point or an accident, like
flashpoint.
I don't think it was a flashpoint, but it was a a definitive point in history that no matter what happens, it's going to go down that way.
Right.
So there's no coming out of this with Batman or Kara alive. And again, they did a great job of showing that despair and just the loss and kind of this when we can't win and then turning that around into now I know I can't keep my mom because this isn't supposed to happen and I have to undo what I did. So it really kind of it drove the action so well.
Yeah. And it was a total gut punch, I think, certainly for Barry and for the audience. And so I think I have this right. Well, was it that older Barry decides he's going to go back in time, or was it that young Barry decides he's going to keep trying to change things? I forget exactly.
Well, both things were happening.
Okay, that's right.
Younger Barry is like, no, I've almost got it. And let's go again. And then, you know, the third Barry who has done this for... presumably thousands of years, you know, just repeating this thing, kind of a paradox, because that was the person who pushed him out at the beginning and, you know, created this whole time loop. So chicken egg sort of situation.
And he sort of morphed into this monster, right? Because young Barry gets like pieces of, I guess, metal or something stuck in him. And then it just becomes more and more and more. And he's hideous looking and he's like, no, I've got it this time. I can do it. And that's a lesson there for everyone, for, you know, you can't change things and you have to be able to let go. And of course, as you said, letting go means Barry, that possibility of bringing his mom back is going to kill the entire universe.
So what did you think as all the, you know, and in the middle of them having this kind of culminating moment, all these other similar timelines start converging. So that's sort of where a bit of a multiverse
version
came. And then we see all these versions of Superman, all these versions of Batman. What do you think of that?
So there's a couple different ways over. Some people just say this is what is the term I saw endlessly? Digital necromancy. Some things people were using, basically using the likenesses of dead people to sell a product or something like that. I'm not opposed to that in all situations necessarily. Particularly, and I think the intent here was to honor those actors, and we even saw Nicolas Cage, which I don't understand because he never was Superman. Maybe in another timeline he was. I don't know.
That's the thing, is that his movie never got made. So, yeah.
So there's that argument. I don't agree with that. That is bad in all cases. But it felt weird, I guess, is what I would say. And especially then to have them just kind of killed off and then deleted afterwards. What were your thoughts on all this?
I have to say, I wasn't sure how they're going to do it. It was clear when that first black and white world kind of showed up and you saw the George Reeves old TV. I was like, are we going to see Christopher Reeve here? And you saw that silhouette kind of, and I wasn't sure if they were ever going to bring him out of the silhouette, if it was just going to be him kind of floating there and hovering down. And then he did step forward, and I loved it. I thought it was great. It was great to see him again.
And I didn't think it looked bad either. I thought it almost looked like a rear projection kind of effect, which I thought was kind of cool. And it's nice to see him. So I think the intent there was to honor him.
And the Nicolas Cage thing was, it was so hilarious. I mean, so I don't know. If you've probably heard the whole Kevin Smith's stand-up story about that whole situation. I don't know.
I haven't. That. I know a little bit about the background, but I've never seen that specifically.
If you get a chance, it's on YouTube. If anyone who hasn't seen this yet, go ahead and check it out. Kevin Smith got hired to write Superman that I think was originally going to be directed by Robert Rodriguez. If I've got that right.
Oh, I thought it was going to be a Tim Burton thing. No,
I think maybe it was, but then I think it shifted. I know the two of them had some sort of falling out.
Oh, okay.
Regardless, this, it was going to be Nicolas Cage as Superman. They did the suit tests with the long hair.
Yeah, I've seen those.
Like Con Air. It was just Con Air hair, but black. And there's a whole thing about the producer demanding, like, all the demands the producer put on the movie, like, and in the third act, I don't want Lex Luthor. I want a giant spider. I wanted to fight a giant spider. So this was kind of out of that whole thing. It was a kind of an homage to that story that went around from Kevin Smith. So it's fantastic.
That's
so hard. And then apparently that producer, you know, that Superman movie never got made, obviously. And that producer went on to produce Wild Wild West with Will Smith. And in the third act, big giant mechanical spider.
So he's determined to get a spider.
Yeah. So
okay, that makes a lot more sense though, because I'm like, yeah, what is this spider thing he's fighting? So it comes from that. So that's kind of cool. So I do think, I don't think there's any ill intent here. There's some controversy about, well, why wasn't Henry Cavill in there? Maybe Brandon Routh, maybe some of the other Barrys, people that have played Barry. So I would have, maybe that would have been okay. Or maybe the other Batman. I don't know if there was some issue there.
It did feel like there was one scene in that horrible CGI layer thing of Cavill, I guess, after his resurrection in Justice League.
Oh. You
know, like the shirtless, but it was like a freeze frame of that as he was running through. But, you know, Gal Gadot popped up. The post credit had Jason Momoa.
Right.
Other than the actor that played Cyborg, who had a negative, you know, experience with Joss Whedon and Warner Brothers, everybody came back almost as like, we're going to close this out. And he didn't get to do that. And
right.
And it just, it kind of sucks the way like it all went down with Henry Cavill. So it definitely felt wrong that he wasn't in there. But then I guess when you have him in there, it's about Superman. You know, like you, Kara wouldn't have had as much emphasis or weight.
That's true. Yeah. Cause she was basically Clark in this movie. Yeah. And so we get to close all that out. Of course, Barry, we didn't mention this, but he's trying to prove his father's innocence. He got this thumb drive that shows footage from the day of the murder where he's at the store. They don't see his face. So what he decides to do is, okay, I'm going to accept that my mom, because what he did before was there's a can of tomatoes that his dad sent to buy for his mom. While he's gone, someone comes and murders Barry's mom. We don't know who this is. There's some theories around that who it is, but we don't know. And so what he does to change history, because we didn't mention, is he takes a can of tomatoes and he then puts it up on a higher shelf so that when we see his dad, he looks up and the camera gets a good shot of him. But all of that minutia aside, what we really get is a really emotional hello and goodbye from Barry, as he just it's crazy. Talk me through the scene about your thoughts on this and this kind of.
I just thought it was so very, very well done. It wasn't too big. It wasn't too emotional. It hit all the notes. I felt like perfectly. It was subtle. You know, I felt like and the I don't know who the woman was that they cast as his mom. Maribel Verdú, I think.
Yeah, I'm not familiar with her.
She had just such this warm. There was just love in her performance, and I was just blown away by that, by the way they you know, after all that we had kind of been through, you know, because we're now 2.5 hours 2:20, 2:10 into the movie, and they give us this scene, and it just was the perfect capper.
I agree. Now we heard from Michael Keaton's Batman that if you mess up anything, you can ruin the whole universe. He did mess up. He talked to his mom, which would mess things up. He moved the can, which would mess things up. And I always say that, you know, that movies should be consistent with their own internal rules. But I think narratively here, we're going to reward our main character for kind of doing the right thing, embracing the reality of the situation and being selfless and accepting loss and moving on.
I guess technically he didn't change the past. He changed the present, you know, because his father still went to jail because the video was not clean enough at the time. So by moving the cans, wasn't going to get that information until present day.
Until later, yeah.
To then get his dad out of prison. So
But he did mess with something, and he took those clothes. So I think if we're being super strict, I'd say he did change things. But I think we can leave that alone, because what we got was an amazing closing scene. What we do find out is something changed is, hey, George Clooney's back, which I don't know what this is really for nothing. I mean, other than to show George Clooney's face at the end.
Right. That was great.
It was good to see him. It got a little pop in the theater. I mean, that is The Flash. I walked out of the movie, as I said, I loved it. I was buzzing. And I couldn't wait to talk about it. And then, after being kind of demoralized by all the hate online and the leaks, I love it. And so, you know, look, I'm not Warner Brothers. I didn't put money into this. It's not my money to win or lose. And after all, this thing is not going anywhere anyways. They're not making a Flash sequel. We will never see Ezra Miller as Barry Allen ever again. And in fact, sadly, maybe none of these actors in any of these roles ever again.
Right.
And so that does close out not only this, I guess, Snyder chapter, but for many of these actors and their stories, and that we're going to be looking at something new.
I do hope we'll see Sasha Calle again. I think she's earned it. She deserves a chance. And we may see, apparently was Keaton's Batman in the scrubbed Batgirl?
He was, yeah.
So yeah. I have a feeling somehow, somewhere, just like the Snyder cut, it's gonna see the light of day somehow down somewhere. The line. So maybe we'll see one more Keaton. I'd still love to see them go and do a completely unrelated Batman Beyond where old Keaton is mentoring a new Batman. Because that's basically what this was. It was the older statesman with the younger superhero giving, and it worked so damn well. So, I'd love to see them do that.
This was, that kind of rough concept was proven in this movie that it works. And honestly, I'm surprised. I don't know. Is Keaton just like too old? I just thought there was like going to be a baseline level of love for Batman 89 and Batman Returns that would show up in this theater just to see Keaton. Like, you know, there would be some level of that because those movies were huge. Mm-hmm. And they just didn't show up. So I was kind of surprised. I was honestly surprised just by that.
And Keaton is, he's just having such a great, I loved him in the Spider-Man Homecoming.
Yeah. I didn't mean him too old, but is the original Batman?
Oh, right.
Yeah. I don't know.
Just glad to see him having this stage of his career is going really well. You know, the Oscar a while back. He's killing it. You know.
We recently reviewed The Founder, another fantastic movie. Michael Keaton is awesome. He's one of the most likable actors out there, and he's always just great in everything he's in. And a fantastic Batman.
And the funny thing was, is that I remember, and there was no internet back then, but I just remember just how much outrage there was when he was cast as Batman. Like, you can't, he's a comedian. You can't yes, you can. he's still the gold standard, I guess, that we measure all the Batman against.
Yeah, it's funny because I actually didn't know about that until a couple of years ago, because I was a little too young when 89 came out to like be paying attention to that stuff. But it's funny because, you know, nerds have been raging forever, right? It's not just the internet. The internet just amplifies it, but it's kind of funny. Don't always listen to the mob, because sometimes the mob is wrong, and the mob is wrong about this movie. I think it's a fantastic film. Again, highly, highly recommend everybody check it out. That is, if you can stand Ezra Miller,
right.
And don't have any kind of like, you know, moral objections or something like that, then this movie's just not for you. But I think if you go in there with an open mind, you will be pleasantly surprised. You'll have a great time. The story moves quick. It's not perfect, but just a great, romp is the right word, but just a lot of good fun with, I laughed more than I thought I would. And I was really emotionally invested in the story in ways that I didn't think that I would be. And I'll admit now I was choking up a little bit at the end too.
Yep. Definitely. It's Father's Day. I mean, granted that was with his mom, but it was also trying to save his father was what sort of got the whole thing going in the first place. I thought it was a good Father's Day movie. So it was a good one to be out there watching on that day.
Yep, just a great story. Be warned, you will get a little wonky CGI, but I think on balance, most of the CGI, at least for me, worked, and I didn't mind it. The parts that bother me more, like when they first get Supergirl, when they rescue her, and they sort of, she's wearing that like white long t-shirt and she starts beating people up. To me, that looks completely fake. And then there's some other spots in the final battle that didn't look great for me either.
I saw some, I want to say on her Instagram or something, or somebody somewhere, I saw some footage of her in harnesses, like in the, you know, what she reminded me of was Eleven from Stranger. And she's wearing that prison gown or whatever. And so that wasn't all CGI. A lot of was practical because they had her in a harness and doing stuff in that uniform, in that costume. So,
Well, that's annoying if they actually did it and it didn't look good. Then that's like, what went wrong here? So I don't know. Maybe it was a budget thing. Maybe, I don't know.
But hey, it wasn't Henry Cavill's mustache.
Bad. Great. Do you have anything else here on the controversy or anything that
it's tough. You know, I think Ezra Miller is a really good actor. It feels a lot like Kanye. This is someone who definitely has some needs mental help. And I'm curious, you know, obviously Warner's had a lot invested in this person and their success, and were they getting him help or what were they doing to help? Cause clearly this is a person in distress, you know?
Yeah.
And then at the same time, allegedly did some pretty awful things that, you know, on the Marvel side of the world, they're dealing with the same thing. So it's going to be interesting to see how, you know, it seemed like you said, The Flash, it seems like it's wrapped up. It's probably done, but
cynically,
is the big bad of the next phase. So what are they going to do?
And, you know, Marvel kind of, I don't want to say they lucked out, but the news came out after the movies were out.
Yeah.
This one came, and I don't want to, you know, I don't know. It's weird to think of it that way. But you never know, like to your point though, I mean, they were building up Kang to be the next major villain. Now that, who knows how this stuff shakes out. But,
and I'll bet you they were slow playing because they're like, let's see what happens with The Flash. Are people going to show up? You know, and if they do, then we can maybe not make a snap decision on Jonathan Majors. They didn't show up. It hurt the business side of things. And so I think that's probably going to drive, you know, force Marvel's hand in some way.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, another DC movie, another flop. This is like the third one in a row. Yeah. And this one is better than Black Adam and Shazam 2 by quite a bit, I would say.
We came home after the movie and watched Dungeons and Dragons last night, which was fantastic. It was so much fun.
Yeah. Oh, that movie was hilarious. And that's another one that exceeded my expectations.
Yeah.
I just kind of threw it on just to like, eh. And that movie's great fun. I love Chris Pine.
Yeah.
Great. So do you want to go ahead and give this thing a rating in terms of stars as far as quality and buckets of popcorn out of 5 each?
I'd do 3 stars, 4 popcorns.
Yeah, I think I'm pretty much there. I might go 5 buckets. I might go 3 stars, 5 buckets.
Okay.
I thoroughly enjoyed this film. It is, there were moments where I was literally just lost in it. When the visuals worked and the story was clicking, I was, you know, it'd be like 30 minutes goes by kind of a thing. Cause sometimes I just like to check my watch to see where we are now that I'm bored. I'm like, holy crap, it's been 45 minutes. And then, as I said, the movie was like about to end and I'm like, whoa. Yep.
I'm generally pretty forgiving on running time as long as you keep me entertained.
Yeah.
If I feel entertained, I don't usually complain. I want more out of it. I want more story. So I know you tend to be a bit more discerning on that. And so for you to say it didn't feel like it dragged at all, I mean, that's saying a lot.
I know. I've been complaining. I feel like I'm almost saying it too much, complaining about runtimes, but I do feel like these movies are just so long. Like, you're making an animated movie and it's like, why is it 2.5 hours kind of a thing? This one, I thought, this one did not do that. So to its credit and to my enjoyment. Great. So that is The Flash. Dan, where can people find you if they want to check you out and see what you're up to?
I'm on Twitter at Dan Franco, and I'm on Instagram, Dan Franco 11. Don't really have anything I'm doing right now. It's been quiet since COVID, but hopefully auditions are starting to flow again, and hopefully something coming soon.
Yeah, well, when you got something cooking, you let us know, and we'll come talk about it. But of course, you're welcome here anytime. We got to get the three of us together. I think the last one we did was Top Gun Maverick.
Me and you.
Say that again.
And that one was just me and you too.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, you slide right into that co-host chair like it's no big deal, buddy. So, keep an eye out for the Dial of Destiny review, which will drop next week. Of course, you can follow the main account at Blockbuster Cast on Twitter, and you can find me at Dave_Quist. That is everything. Thank you so much, everybody, for listening. Thank you, Dan, for joining me, and we'll catch you in the next episode.